Hey everyone, coming up, we're celebrating November 5th, 1955 today on a very, very special episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. So, live from the Bob Varley studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 64 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Please visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, oh great Scott, I am your host, Craig Scott.
No.
Williams.
Okay.
It's actually my middle name.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So.
I don't know if I believe you.
I will pull out my driver's license here right now if I have to.
Get Chris Williams on the horn.
No, this isn't the trip. We just don't text my parents in the middle of the show. And I know you don't watch the trip, so that did happen.
That did.
I assumed from your context clue sentence.
Yes. No, I am Craig Scott Williams. The long backstory with it, though, but I did actually work in a restaurant at one point in time where my manager's name was Greg, so they needed to change my name to Scott in order to stop the confusion, and then eventually it turned into Great Scott, so for a short period in my time, I was living Back to the Future, kind of.
Yeah, I remember that part.
In a way.
Yeah, okay.
But yes, it's not just about me, obviously. It kind of
just
is,
mostly.
But
yeah.
Just mostly. But also joined with me today is a cold Jenny Lynn Knopp.
Cold?
A cold day in Jenny Lynn Knopp.
Hi, everyone.
Well, that's because it's cold where we currently are.
Yeah, it's actually...
What? It's
brisk 88 degrees.
A brisk 88 degrees, you don't say. Well... You know who knows a lot about 98 degrees in the back? Our very own gay trap, Ryan O'Clavin, who today I think he's Marty McFly, maybe?
I'm Marty from the future. This was my Halloween costume. I made this. And that hoverboard on the table.
Yes. There is a hoverboard on the table.
Just floating.
It's just
hovering.
Floating right there.
Yeah.
It is hovering.
Yeah.
We're going to green screen that candle out, right?
Yes, we will. But okay. I mean, well, don't ruin that for the people who are just listening. For the ones who are just listening, trust me, there is a hoverboard floating on the table right now.
What does a hoverboard sound like?
Why are we talking about the sounds of hoverboards?
So people listening think it's hovering.
Yeah, we'll throw in the sound effects later. We don't need to do that right now. So we have a really, really big episode today for you. Of course, this is being released on November 5th, 2015, the year of our Lord.
And,
I think that's what it's referenced as. But yes, because that's obviously a big day in Back to the Future lore. That is the day, you know, that Marty... made the Twin Pines Mall into the Lone Pines Mall, mm-hmm. as well as Doc Brown hanging a clock in his bathroom and
slipped right on that wet porcelain.
Yes.
Cracked his head and when he came to.
What happened with that?
He slipped.
Yes. And then
hit his head. And
yes.
when he came to, he drew this. I wish I had had it on a piece of paper. He came up with the flux capacitor.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. What's so important about this flux capacitor?
The flux capacitor is what makes time travel happen.
Yes. It makes time travel possible.
Yeah.
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 Come on.
Okay.
You're going to quote it. Quote it right.
Oh. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to scream that it works, but I don't have it in me to... I don't know how to fix the sound well, so it would just be a mess for everybody.
Exactly. And then, of course, the most important thing that happened on November 5th, 1955, it was the day that
under the sea
Lorraine Baines officially became incestual with her not-yet-born son.
Yeah, we just went there.
Oh, you have to.
Those Californians.
A crazy time to be alive.
Hill Valleyans.
Yeah, we are all there. We are going to be coming up with that, but before we get any further into that discussion, and it's I guess I still haven't even said what that discussion's about. We're actually going to look at Back to the Future, the ride that is no longer there, replaced with Simpsons. We've had a lot of feedback in in the previous months about people wanting to learn more of Universal's history and know what was there before. And obviously, we've referenced stuff like Jaws and Back to the Future a lot on this show, but we haven't really ever went in depth on them. So this is the first round of it with Back to the Future. And yeah, so before we really get a grasp into that, I'm going to throw it back to anyone who has housekeeping. I know Rhino's got housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
JL, do you got any housekeeping?
Skeep.
No.
What? No?
Skeep.
No.
I wish you could have came up with something after I just butchered the word housekeeping 6 times. But
no, my house is already in order.
Okay. Rhino, yeah. Go ahead. Be the master of your house.
Well, Sunday I got to do the social media meetup for the last night of Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando for Halloween Horror Nights 25. Jack's Last Laugh, I believe, is what it was referred to as.
The Last Laugh.
The Last Laugh,
the
yeah.
The Last Laugh.
And it was actually, it was quite a treat. They brought us into, I thought they were just going to give us the tickets to the event. But they brought us into this, room. They took a photo. Then they went into another room, and it was just this big hall that had, a dead band playing. Mm. I'm assuming they were part of the Maniacs, 'cause they had the white makeup on and stuff like that. But okay. So they were playing music. There was a lot of, oh God! What am I looking for? Elizabethan, is that the right word for the people that are dressed the really fancy, like masquerade type?
Yeah, I would say Victorian.
They were kind of, all those people were moseying around with like the blood that was coming out from under their mask and stuff. And then they had all these food stations set up everywhere. They gave us drinks, desserts. That was really cool. And then and then chants came out, and then we all had to recite the Jax Maniacs. Oath mm-hmm. that was given to us on our lanyard, and when we did that and we shouted that, Jack came out and he murdered somebody, and so they cut somebody's throat up on the stage. That was interesting.
Yeah
that was a little
graphic.
Sitting there eating my pasta watching someone's bleed to death.
Well, they didn't actually die. I just want to make sure you do know that they are alive.
Well, I feel much better now.
Okay.
Yeah. A little more. The nightmares might stop now.
Good.
But what was cool is they also let us do like a meet and greet photo op with him, which I guess was, it was like us and I think you said the media. They did that with like the media event too.
Some people had options.
Yeah. So I went up and got my photo with him. And I was a little nervous to do that, but he was actually, since we're his maniacs, he was actually nice to us. He said, I had nice hair. And I said, he did too. And he said, he hadn't done much with it in 25 years. Because it looks so good. But so yeah, we did that, and then got to go out and do some Halloween Horror Night stuff. So it was a really, I have to say that Sunday overall was like one of my most positive theme park experiences maybe ever. Oh. Because I had also, so what they did is when you went to check in, you checked in before you got to the main entrance of the park, and then they gave you in a popcorn box.
Yeah.
They had all your credentials in there, and then part of that was you had to find your way to the secret like place. So yeah. They had Jack's symbol set up everywhere on the ground, and so you kind of had to get over there and check in around like 5 o'clock or something like that. So I thought that was really cool. And then while I was killing some time, we had been selected in the Wizarding World, not in the Wizarding World, in Diagon Alley. For the wand show.
Technically is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Diagon Alley.
Is it? Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, in there. And the person who was the wand keeper was the best, entertainment person I've ever seen at Universal Orlando. The experience was long. It was engaged. And it was the end of the night for them, I assume. So that's why it was a little more. But that was fantastic. And then on top of this event, that Universal, for something that was a free, like people had won this, you know. And I was invited along as a guest, so it wasn't even, I hadn't even won. I was a plus one. So it was just. It was incredible how they treated the guests and how they interact with them, and they are on top of their social media, because they were like, use these hashtags, and the second any photo went up, they would message and be like, we want to use this immediately.
Yeah, without a doubt, Universal is very special in how they handle their social media. Disney does their Disney Parks blogs meetups every now and then, but one of the big things that ends up happening with that is cast members are allowed to sign up. They're able to also be part of that, which doesn't make sense because for any contest in general, usually you are void if you actually work for the company
I had to read the paperwork a lot to make sure that like by working for the Diz I wasn't violating a thing, because I had to sign like four release forms for it
too. And so that's why I've been a part of a lot of the Disney Parks blog ones, but I've also been shut out by a lot of them because mainly because cast members are all signing up, and it's not like a surprise. I know these people are cast members because they're my friends and they've won the opportunity to take place in some of these events. And granted, we do get invited to a lot of special stuff as part of the media. And, you know, there a lot of cool stuff happens at some of these events. And we try not to brag about it ever because, well, it's not fair that people don't always get to see the side that we do, the side that whenever they're whining and dining us because want to put on their best party. So that's why I like that Universal has started some of these social media event meetups like this one, where not only do they the social media people who will blog and tweet a lot, but they might not necessarily get invited to the media events because they're not big. This was their chance to be a part of something like that, as well as just anyone who was active on social media. They also had the chance to be a part of it. So it's nice that Universal's giving back and, you know, gave them this free food and this party environment with a couple free drinks included too. I mean,
access to the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the cool part. They were like two drinks per person, but then it was unlimited soda, water, all that stuff. There was tons of food. The food was delicious too. It wasn't just like terrible crap food they gave us. Like, it was really good. There was like pulled pork sliders with like coleslaw that you could put on it. There was like a vegetarian pasta that you could also add chicken to if you wanted. I didn't even go to all the tables because I thought like, oh, I gotta eat before I go, just thinking like, okay, I've gotta just go do this and maybe I'll get a lanyard out of this or something like that. But they took really good care of people. I met a couple listeners. So there was Brian, and then there was a gentleman named Vance. I want to say it was either Van or Vance. He said his name once, but he was a big fan of the show. So that was cool too, that there were some other people, but I have to say Universal, I was very, very impressed. Very cool.
That's good to hear. Well, I guess I don't have any housekeeping either. I wish I did. I just don't. So with that, let's jump into it. And I'm going to preface this by saying right up front, of the three of us in this room, only one of us, Rhino, has ever actually had the opportunity to
I don't know if you could tell by the way I was stressed.
He's the only person who ever had the chance in this room to experience the actual attraction itself. It was closed before my time, starting to go to Universal, JL, same for you. Mm-hmm. So Rhino has distant memories of it as a young lad from way back in the day.
Not that distant.
But very distant. it closed in 2007, so it's a little bit of distance on there.
How dare you?
That's just time. That's just common sense. It's 2015. It closed in 2007. That's 8 years. Yeah. So my memory is not great from yesterday, let alone 8 years ago. But that's more of my fault for that. But we won't get into why Craig has problems. That's for a different time and place.
Or why Craig refers to himself get in Chris, the third person.
Get Chris Williams back on the phone again.
That's not. Rhino's going to come in with the chief expertise. I've read up on Back to the Future of the Ride, everything, as much as I could. And one of the biggest helps along the way is that way, way, way back when the ride was still around, a team member was apparently smart enough, and this is the folklore that I've read online, so I'm not sure, and I'll even be honest and preface this by a lot of this is very Wikipedia and just wiki heavy in general.
Well,
but
it's unfortunate because when the ride was around and at its prime, like, what people weren't the way we are right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there was, and Universal wasn't at the level it is quite yet now, I feel like, you know, so I don't think.
Are you talking about as far as documenting things on the internet? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Well, and then preservation in general, I think it relied a lot heavier on people having like an actual you know, camcorders in the theme park were not as common as they are right now, where we carried around with us everywhere.
Exactly.
You know,
people didn't document as much back in the day as they do now.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we have our jobs based on it. So, our jobs in specifically. So, yeah, I'm doing off of a lot of stuff that I read, including Wikipedia. So, burn me, slash me later. I know this is stuff you could just read, but maybe you don't want to take the time to read it. That's why I'm actually speaking it out to you. So, apparently, a team member back in the day had, you know, access to the Laserdisc copies of the pre-show movies and the full show. And so he completely broke the rules and copied the master disc onto VHS tapes and then was selling bootleg copies of the Back to the Future, the ride experience all around. And so this, obviously with the internet, these eventually made their way onto there, and they're all over the place on YouTube. Universal saw this, understood it, instead of trying to do something about it.
You mean squash it?
Squash it. They just chose to, whenever they had a re-release of all the movies on DVD, they put in this footage that they had from the ride still, because they had all the original copies, so they put it in on the DVD release. There was a little bit of cutout, from what I understand. It wasn't the full, complete uncut, just a couple small things that didn't make it on there. And then whenever they released the 25th anniversary Blu-rays, they also put it on that too, so that way it's more accessible. People who didn't get to experience the ride can actually have a way to do it. And I got to tell you, this is worth buying the set alone.
Really?
Just to have that. I mean, their Blu-ray sets they put out for Back to the Future are incredible.
Oh, the special features are extensive. Yeah. Like, they are, whenever people are like, oh, the unknown, like, I feel like there's very few little known facts about Back to the Future because of how extensive the DVDs and Blu-rays are. Like, that's where all your information is, right?
Oh,
there.
Yeah, and of all of them, still, this is my favorite portion of it because I didn't get to ever experience it. So I can basically, without, you know, being in the Institute of Future Technology and having that whole area surround me, at least I can see some of the stuff that I would be seeing. And the ride-through portion of this alone is awesome because instead of just, you know, taking the video footage that they had of the actual ride-through, they even at the bottom of the screen, they have on like a,
like
kind
a,
of a,
like
it's like an animated version of what it would look like sitting in the car, because they did have in the car, you had Biff kind of popping in and ridiculing you, and Doc Brown popping in too and saying stuff. So you have that dashboard on the bottom of your screen too. So it tries to, as accurately as possible, recreate the ride experience. And yeah, it's never going to be as good as actually just going there and riding it. But
you have no other option at this point.
technically, no. It is still open in one place. So Back to the Future, the ride opened up at Universal Studios Florida on May 2nd, 1991. Then it was followed in June 1993 at Hollywood. And then in 2001, it opened up at Universal Studios Japan, where it is still open to this day.
Is it the same? Do you know if it's the same ride? Or did they change the video because it was 10 years later?
Same exact ride.
Interesting.
So it is still from...
So what you're saying is, this is further reason why we need to go to Japan.
Exactly.
I'm on board for that.
No, this would be one of the biggest selling points as to why I need to go to Japan so I can see this. And I don't care how strict their filming or photography policies are there. I would be willing to get kicked out of the park just solely so I could document the experience of actually being on a ride like this or any of the other ones they have out there. But it is still running in Japan, whereas it closed down, like I said, in 2007 back in Florida and then in Hollywood too, to make way for the Simpsons ride, which, you know, we've talked about it on the show. We talked about it on the Family's Guide last week. It's not a perfect ride by any means. It has gotten better with the addition of Springfield, USA, adding to the whole element of the theming of the land. But overall, I think there's still a longing out there from a lot of people that why did you get rid of something like Back to the Future? But that's Universal's way. They're not going to sit there and let something age itself and look any more awful. That's why it's good that there's attractions like E.T. that are just spectacularly timeless.
Well, and I think also there was like that moment for them too where they were like, we got to do something. Like, this was before Harry Potter, you know? Or I think Harry Potter had been contracted, but they hadn't broken ground yet. Because Harry Potter, the theme park, I had heard about it before I moved to Florida. And that was 2007 when I moved here in September. And Back to the Future closed September of 2007. So they must have known. But so that was the beginning of their whole big, like, I would say, renaissance. But I feel like if it had made it through somehow, I think it would still be here. You know what I mean? If it had been the last thing they closed, I think they might have redone it or something like that. But unfortunately, it was the first one on the block.
Yeah, I mean, one of the hardest things about this to maintain a Back to the Future ride is kind of what we've even talked about 2 weeks ago on the show whenever it was the day after Back to the Future Day, October 21st. The source material hasn't aged well either. I mean, you look at it, the effects don't look good. So it would be hard to even upgrade a video to look like something because it would have to be a complete original creation because that's not what the movies look like.
The ride's an original creation, though.
The ride's an original creation, but, I mean, the whole first start of the ride takes place in Hill
in
Valley
2015,
in
yeah.
2015.
That's true.
So, to upgrade the ride, they would have to completely reanimate and go beyond the movie and go beyond what the look that it had in the movies.
I want to know if I could take a sidestep here real quick.
I'm going to let you step 1 foot over if I like what you're saying. I might let you go, too.
Okay. So I have this theory about that. Okay. So we had the Back to the Future Day. I saw all the movies in the movie theater. You know, I own them. I've seen them a million times. But I was thinking, like, okay, we're in 2015, and they made that really cool commercial with Doc Brown where he comes out of DeLorean and says, it's 2015. It's not what we thought it was going to be. You know, some stuff is here. Some stuff isn't yet. But that just means the future isn't written yet. A really nice little message. And I was thinking, like, the 2015 we saw in the movie was the 2015 from their original timeline, which then got messed up when they went back. So I feel like, and then they went into the Old West. So I know 1985 was similar, but how do we know that Marty having such a positive life wasn't the reason why 2015 is the way it is? You know what I mean? Like, when those movies end, we actually don't know what the 2015 looks like for Marty
McFly.
That's
heavy.
So, good one.
Yeah, you caught that.
Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say is that's in my mind, that's how I'm okay with that movie always 2015 and that movie always looking the way it does then, because I feel like when they in by the end of that movie, that future is erased. It doesn't exist at all.
Okay. I think I'll allow that tangent.
So that's
I already allowed it.
I'm just throwing it there, but yeah, well, that's how I think, like, it kind of, you were saying the thing about the ride. That's where that thought came from. But anyway, on to the ride.
Okay. Yes. So I already mentioned it before. Institute of Future Technology. This was the building set up for it. It was Doc Brown's Institute of Future Technology. And that's where this entire adventure takes place because you're visiting the Institute as a volunteer, apparently. And you're going to take a ride on one of Doc Brown's really, it's an 8-passenger DeLorean. It's amazing that they made it big enough to seat 4 across. Almost supposed to be a theme park ride or something.
Yeah, it's crazy how all these stories that we see, they're always making these extra large vehicles for some weird 16 passengers and 8 passengers. Like,
I could have swore that a DeLorean looks no bigger than for 3 people across, but he found a way to make it for 4 people. And so your whole point is that you are going to get to do kind of like a time travel demonstration and go through it. So what ends up happening? Well, Biff gets involved because
young Biff,
the Biff from 1955, from I believe what the Q videos told you. So I need to pull up my notes that I took on this because some of this stuff is great.
I think it was like Doc Brown or somebody was in 1955 with the DeLorean and he like.
Yeah,
got back on it.
And yeah,
that's why it's young Biff.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like promotional material about the Institute of Future Technology, and I'm starting with like the pre-show videos that I actually got to watch because of the Blu-ray and DVD. So, you know, Doc comes in and says that Biff has taken the time machine and is visiting from 1955, and that's where we start to volunteer to help to find Biff before things go really wrong. But along the way with this video, the pre-show, there's a lot of fun segments in it. Like, my favorite one was Doc on the March, and it was it had videos of, like, kind of old-timey production reels, like, think of Up, on, like, the stuff that he's watching before the movie on, and then also on, like, Indiana Jones, the ride out in California, how they run the video with Sala. But this was Doc Brown, how his time travels took him back into different places. So, like, they show him with Thomas Edison and getting a signed light bulb from Thomas Edison, and then being at Kitty Hawk when the Wright brothers had their first flight, and they make an awful hover conversion joke as part of it. Like, they didn't get much further with hover conversion technology. And then they show him with Alfred Einstein before moves on to...
Who's Alfred Einstein?
Albert Einstein.
Albert's little-known stepbrother. Wasn't Albert. Quite as smart.
That was a Craig reading instead of actually...
Hey, you know who I bet Alfred Einstein's friend with?
Alfred.
Kyle.
Batman.
Kyle Bassa.
Kyle Bassa.
Seems like they'd get along.
he shows up in a Richard Nixon portion, and then he's there with the Beatles whenever they land in America in 1964. So it's kind of cool that they filmed all this stuff, obviously, and... the early 90s for that, and then whenever Forrest Gump rolls around in 1994,
that was
a big portion. And of course, Robert Zemeckis filmed Forrest Gump as well as Back to the Future. However, he had nothing involved in this ride for the most part.
Did Bob Gale or anybody, did they come up with the story? Or?
I think Bob Gale helped a little bit with it. I'm sorry, I don't have that in notes or anything. I think Bob Gale did.
Well, he's usually very heavily involved in Back to the Future stuff, because I know he wrote the story for the games, and he also is currently working with somebody to write the comic book, which is like that four-issue thing where it's about how Marty met Doc and all that stuff.
Yeah, Bob Gale was one of the writers.
Okay,
so it's
good.
Yeah, so it's got his stamp on it. Alan Silvestri came back to do music for it. Mm-hmm. The only technical main characters that came back to do it were Christopher Lloyd reprising his role as Doc Brown, as well as Thomas F. Wilson doing his young Biff. But, I mean, the guy hasn't aged, so it worked.
No, I mean, he looks exactly like Biff in the 1985 movie. So, like, six years later, the guy looked the same. However, Thomas F. Wilson, what he looks like right now...
Oh, he's aged now.
He looks exactly like old Biff.
Yeah.
Which is scary, because you're like, man, they really predicted...
they nailed it.
They did that aging in that movie.
Well, minus the hair and the shame and the sadness and all that. He seems like
Mr.
a very
McFly,
happy guy.
I almost raped your wife.
Oh, okay.
No one ever talks about that part of that movie. It always bugs me.
Okay.
I didn't write
the movie. We talked about it now.
Yeah.
Go on. Need it. So, back to my notes. Alfred Einstein again. and then it just keeps going on with some fun videos along the way. So Biff eventually becomes involved, and that's whenever you find out that he's in the Institute of Technology, and the security's all looking around
for him.
And
yelling, "Hey, Doc Brown."
Yeah, just very... Oh, but okay, I will flat out say this, just from watching the video. It's great that Biff and Doc were in this, and they were able to be a part of it, but it's almost like they're playing parodies of themselves because they are acting over the top, something they didn't do in the movies. And then they even try a little bit too hard to sometime make things happen. So, like, whenever Biff is trying to escape from the security, they do this like marble gag where he drops marbles or something round on the floor, and so security runs and slips and falls in it, even like in the movie. And then he follows with the line, "Have a nice trip, see you next winter," instead of "see you next fall." Just like stupid. Like, okay, I get that he does.
They were like, we need Biff to have the terrible quote.
Yeah, but they didn't really need that. And, you know, he ties up security guards and then leaves a note on them saying, "I'm a butthead," because he had an affinity for the word butthead in the movie. So little stuff like that that probably didn't need to exist, but still found its way into the ride. And it was parts like that that really made you kind of cringe while watching it. It really did age it to a certain point. But then again, we also know all three of us aren't really a fan of fart jokes, and unless they're done tastefully and correctly, which Universal doesn't do.
No. Haven't mastered that yet.
Yeah. So, Rhino, do you want to hit on any recollections of the actual ride itself? Do you remember it?
Yeah. I remember like going up to the building because the DeLorean used to be in a circular, like, fenced off area.
Yes.
right in front of the building. And I was always so fascinated by that they had the movie car was like out there in front. I don't know if it actually was.
Yeah. But it's one of the three movie cars, I believe.
It's
they
the
said.
Second one.
Yeah, the Hero one obviously was restored, and it was part of that NBC Universal experience out in Hollywood until they got rid of that, and now it's back in storage. But even that one, before, it was being driven around, like, on Universal property and was used as part of promotional materials for it.
The one here or the one that was
the restored? One that was in Hollywood. Yeah. Ours has always just been in that shape. I think it was the second, and then the third movie car, I believe it was sold to a private collector or something. I can't remember. I watched that Back in Time documentary, but I started drifting off.
I haven't watched it yet.
It starts off strong and then it kind of goes downhill until when they get in the fan section of
it. That's what my friend said. She said the first part's really good on like that sort of stuff, but then it's a movie about the fans and stuff. But I remember the car being there, and the car is modeled after the car in the second movie, so it's got the Mr. Fusions on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the train being there when I was a kid. I'm sure it was. I mean, it's there now in the park. I don't remember being quite as fast. It must not have been front and center like that, but that car was like right there. Like, yeah. I think the queue actually might have went around it or something.
Even
like
since
that,
the car used to be right out front. Whenever I first started to go to Universal, the train was actually in a different spot than it even is now. Now they put it right outside of Springfield where the train and the DeLorean are there together.
Yeah.
But whenever I first started going, the train was in a complete different spot. Can't for the life of me think where it was, but I remember it being somewhere else.
I remember the building a little bit, but I don't really remember anything special about the outside of the building or anything like that. I think it had just wanted to look like an institute. So it was kind of, it was a little stark. And like, I do remember these pre-show videos a little bit. And I actually very specifically remember like warnings about the ride, like if you have back problems don't go on the ride, if you have this problem. And I remember being like, I was a very timid and I guess I still am, but rider when I was a kid.
Okay.
And so this is, I want to say this was the same vacation where I was almost struck by lightning, and that was also, or this is the vacation where I paralyzed my hand. So I haven't had successful vacations in Florida as a child. Mm. I've had some very close calls in my life here. But so I was like, we were about halfway through the day, maybe even three quarters of the way through the day or something like that. And I was just so fed up that I never go on any rides because they were always like scary or thrill rides. And when we got to the Back to the Future part, I was like, it's Back to the Future. Even as a kid, I was like, I know I have to do this. This is like a movie I love. So we did. I went on with, it was just me and my brother, and like I remember getting into the DeLorean, and I remember it just being the when I came off like the most amazing experience. I still remember elements of the actual ride too. Like if I hadn't watched the video on Blu-ray, I could tell you a lot of the ride still. So that's how much it like stuck with me. It was either 1993 or it was 1998. It was either when I was there in third grade, it was third grade, or it would have been eighth grade. I want to say it was, or somewhere in the middle maybe, but it was in that time frame. So I was, you know, I was younger, like eight or nine, I guess. So, what else do you want to know? Like what I remember?
We'll go into the ride here real quick.
Yeah,
but before I go into that, I actually did read up a little more even since we started talking, and I got the plot a little more into how Biff actually took the time machine. So it's obviously Doc and his whole family, because the third movie still exists in this whole reference to the movie. It happens right after. They're living
in 1991. The kids are there, right?
Yeah, Clara, Jules, and Vern. They're all there. They're in Hill Valley, and he opens up the Institute. And then Before he's doing this whole volunteer work with everyone coming in to test the new time machines out, the 8-person time machines, he traveled to 2015 to make sure that everything, and this is where your theory goes out the window. Oh, that was the whole reason he went to 2015, to test out and see if everything was fixed in the space-time continuum, where he sent other scientists to 1885, as well as then move on to 1955. So then whenever they were there in 1955, that's whenever Biff was able to hijack aboard and there get along with it and come back. So sorry about your tangent. It has now been...
It's out. Well,
it's out the window.
It's out if the ride exists within canon.
Okay. Okay. So let's actually go on to the ride itself. So you board your 8-passenger DeLorean, and you are going to hit that 88 miles an hour so you can go to Hill Valley.
I want to pause you real quick. Okay. I just want to say that so the when the Simpsons overlay came in, it was literally it's like they painted, put up the stuff. It's the exact same. So if you're like wondering what it was like, you went up the same ramp, you went in the same entrance, you waited in that same waiting zone, and you went into a room the same way you did here. Like, I remember that, and I remember going into the DeLorean.
Yeah, and that's a good part to do, too. I guess before I get too far into that, I'll even talk about the whole building structure. Like I mentioned last week on the show, it's a 3-story building, well, even larger than that, but the whole your experience takes on it in terms of it could take place in 3 different stories because there's 3 different floors to it. Because the actual show building itself, you're in either one of 2 IMAX domes, and then in each one they have 3 different levels. So it's kind of almost like picture a staircase looking at a screen. So if you're on the top one, if you look up and over your car looking down, you can actually see the 2 rows below you. But, you know, if you're on the bottom one, obviously you're just getting a nice big view up, and that's actually also the best view. So it's a good tip out there for anyone in going to enjoy The Simpsons. If you want the best view, ask to be on the bottom level or even the middle. The middle is not bad, but the top level, you really start to get the curve of the actual screen, and it kind of warps things a little bit. I don't like it as much. I like being on the bottom, but okay. We're moving on, and we are moving on.
TMI.
And so, yeah. So that's how it's set up. So you're in a room, not in just one DeLorean, kind of like Star Tours style, like that. You're in a giant room with multiple DeLoreans that you're not supposed to really be able to see. So whenever you're each in a separate room to do your pre-show video and then your boarding process, and then right as it's about to start, all of the cars lift up simultaneously out of their room and into the actual IMAX dome. Yeah, it's a very cool effect still to this day, the lifting up and then coming back down at the end, and then you're up in there, and that's when the events of the ride take place.
Yeah,
nail that 88 miles per hour. You go to Hill Valley in 2015, and you know Biff, because that's where Biff went. He stole the time machine, and he went to 2015 so he could get the Gray's Sports Almanac and redo all that, apparently, from what I could get from it. And, well, you know, Biff's not super trained in driving the time machine and all that, so, of course, hilarity and hijinks ensue, and, you know, you're doing circles around Hill Valley, avoiding objects, seeing all of those highlights, though, that you see from the second movie, like the Jaws 19 is there, and you almost collide with the actual courthouse. Before then, you jump into another 88 miles per hour, and
you do shatter through a sign. I think you shatter through the Hill Valley sign or something like that, because you break something. Because when I was a kid, I don't remember being able to see the other DeLoreans, but I do remember rising up, and I remember the smoke, and I remember that first hit, that first like pull, where I was like, "Oh my god!" Like, and for me, I felt like I was there, like So this ride, specifically just this ride alone, not even the movies or anything like that, marked a very like important moment for me in my Universal history, because that's the moment where I was like, I think I like this park better than Disney. So
Of course, as a child, though, you wouldn't be able to see the cars over, you're too short.
That is true.
See over the walls and down and over. So so then, you know, you hit 88 miles per hour again, and that ends up taking you all the way back to the Ice Age. and you're flying around in the Ice Age, which, you know, watching the video back on it, it almost felt like Star Tours whenever you go through the comet and it's all icy and fun. Rest in peace, real Star Wars, Star Tours. And then hit 88 miles per hour again, and then you end up in the time of the dinosaurs, and a T-Rex actually swallows you even at one point.
Yeah. And I remember that. I remember being like, oh, when it, like, it grabs on you, and I remember the pull of the ride and everything like that. And this was a very motion heavy ride, because I was being thrown around left and right. Because I even made the joke when I was done with my brother. I was like, "Oh, they say don't have back problems before you go on, because it gives you a back problem."
And this is where you also could be right in your assessment that you believe that they kept the exact same movement for the ride and really didn't even redo it from The Simpsons. That would be the Maggie part where you're in the, she uses you as a pacifier and sucking. I mean, timeline, yeah, it actually would pretty much sync up right with there.
Well, and that first hit that I remember, like when we hit the sign, there is a hit in the Simpsons ride too that has that same push motion like that. And so, and since we're following Biff who's flying, the movement of the flying machine is very erratic like that.
Yeah.
So that's just my theory that it wasn't reprogrammed.
So you get spit up by the dinosaur, and then all of a sudden you end up in this very like lava, heavy driven volcanic area, and Biff somehow had some issue with his flux capacitor during this whole process. And so then of course you have to be good and save the day and help Biff out. So somehow you are able to,
I think we tow him or something, right? Like, don't you have to like tow the DeLorean or something?
Yeah, it's something like that, but still it doesn't really make sense that you can also bring something back with you just if it's connected.
Right, because then the train that was pushing the DeLorean would have went with them.
Yeah, so either way, you know, you catch up to Biff and you bring him and yourselves both back to 1991 Institute.
I think they push him off the cliff, and because it's, you're falling at one point and the meter's trying to read, get up fast enough or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember.
But regardless, it kind of goes off canon there a little bit by doing that, and no Back to the Future would be complete without a little Huey Lewis, so then kick in that Back in Time music and fade down, and that is your ride on Back to the Future.
It was just too darn loud.
Yeah, it was. So obviously it just really didn't live up to expectations. I don't want to say that.
It sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome, and it looks awesome. And I just don't think that it would have a place in current day Universal had they kept it around. It, compared to the rest of the park, especially now with some of the more changes they're making, axing Twister, axing Disaster, getting rid of small stuff like Lucy. God knows that Terminator 2 is on its way out soon at some point. How that didn't go. How it hasn't gone sooner, although I still enjoy it from time to time. It's got that cheesiness factor to it.
Still
got to
pay for that movie. It's
regardless, I think as much as I wish I would have been able to see it, I understand just from watching the videos on it that it did. It ran its time.
It is one of those, like, you when you watch it, you think, like, okay, why are we go to 2015 for such a small part of it, but the rest of the time we're in like Ice Age, dinosaur, lava. It's a very, very barren landscapes. You know what I mean? Like it would, if it was still here, it would have had to close and be like a redo. Like there would have to be a scene where we're like driving through to see the scene from doing like a Back to the Future 2 where we're in the movie and we're watching like Marty go across, like trying to hide from the mom or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one of those situations. Now,
so it's sad that it's no longer there, but hopefully one day we'll get out to Universal Studios Japan to actually be able to experience it and, you know, experience the entire park in general. But it's, you know, the fact that they even take the time to put stuff like they do on their Blu-ray and their DVD showing the ride footage, that again shows that Universal understands how popular this ride was and how much people were clamoring for it. So the fact that they still haven't really done anything about it, and they haven't tried to create a brand new Back to the Future experience, it's just a little baffling. Instead, what has happened is it's kind of transformed into the only legacy now that Back to the Future really has had in terms of Universal Studios anymore is it was the start of simulator fever for them. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is again, this is a wiki story, so I don't know the truth to it, but obviously George Lucas and Steven Spielberg are very good friends working with each other on many projects, Indiana Jones. And so apparently George Lucas was bragging about Star Tours over at Disney and the simulator technology there. And so that's what led Steven Spielberg, after, you know, George showed him Star Tours, to want a simulator attraction in Universal for whenever it was opening up. And that that obviously ended up being Back to the Future, which you couldn't pick a better movie franchise at that time or a ride right. to base a simulator off of. I mean, it was
brilliant. I think the cartoon was on the air when the ride opened. I think that was 90 or 91 or something like that. So it was still very present for them. Like, think about, like, those movies take place in 85, but the last movie came out in 1990.
It was 90?
It was 89 and 90.
Okay. I thought it was 89 and 91.
No, they were shot back to back because at the end of Back to the Future 2, they show the trailer for Back to the Future 3, and then it closes and it says coming summer of 1990.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
May 25th, 1990. So yeah. I always thought there was an extra gap in there. Regardless, Back to the Future, and it started it. And then from there, in terms of simulators, the next big simulator that opened up at Universal Studios Florida would have been Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was going to say Spider-Man, yeah.
And from there, I mean, obviously, Spider-Man is still a fantastic ride. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing ride. My second favorite mm-hmm. in Islands of Adventure. It's that good. But, you know, even that was such a big progression from the standard stay in one place and just shake and move around like yeah. Back to the Future was. Then Universal took it another step forward and went with that. And my God, watching like Travel Channel shows and Discovery Channel shows on theme parks back in the late 90s, Spider-Man was in every single one of them, always talking about it because of that technology that was behind it.
Well, and what was cool is I think Universal was kind of the first one to take it from that capsule. Like you said, you're in Star Tours, you're in a vehicle that's enclosed. So it's like, I can't see anything around me, so it makes that like fake, like, you know, those started showing up in malls in the 90s, you know.
And
I think Universal with Back to the Future making it not, you're not enclosed technically. I mean, you are because you're in a building, but your ride is not enclosed, you're in wide open space. And I think that was a big, and then Spider-Man followed suit with that too, where it was like the screen, so it's not necessarily it's the car that moves you around. I don't know, I think they took an element of storytelling there that they like have run with amazingly yeah. since then.
I mean, let's be honest, Back to the Future technically is just an inverted version of Soarin', because instead of hanging up with your feet hanging down, you're coming up from below and sitting in a car. So it's just kind of that same idea, but an inverted version of it. So then obviously from Spider-Man and that great technology, that it led into using Kuka robotics with Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, and just the next step of what the heck can we do to make simulators even greater. And you know, this is, it's still my personal favorite ride in any Universal park that I've been on.
Forbidden Journey.
Yeah.
It's my favorite in all of Orlando.
I was just going to say, I agree with Jenny Lynn that I think it's my favorite in Orlando too. It's just something else. There's nothing like it.
No, I don't think there's anything like it.
Yeah, and it's the
category all its own.
For me, it's the pinnacle of what they've achieved with simulator technology. Obviously, then they used the same basis of it for Transformers, Spider-Man, sorry, for Transformers, and you know, different but same exact idea. From there, we go on to Gringotts and have this amazing mix of actual roller coaster with these 3D effects too, and I mean, it's a simulator on a roller coaster track instead of on like a Kuka arm or just in its own car. And coming up, we have a new Soarin' style take on Jimmy Fallon, or even whatever the heck they're doing with Fast and Furious Supercharged. We still don't even know yet. Sure. Someone out there knows, but we personally don't know. Yeah, tell us if you want to.
We'll keep it quiet.
But And yeah, a lot of this has come at a big backlash in that people are getting sick of simulators at Universal.
Sometimes literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, most of the time literally. And that's the main thing I hear from people. It's like, you know, I want to go there and enjoy these rides, but the simulators just make me sick. Even no amounts of Dramamine can even help after one simulator, after another, after another, right. after another. And it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember I've suffered from motion sickness since I was a kid, because I remember, like, at one point, I don't know if it's because of a concussion I got or something like that, but I remember swings started to bother me sometimes. Like, and this ride, I don't remember having that feeling ever at all or anything with this. And then they replaced it with the Simpsons, which is literally probably the ride that if I don't have the Dramamine, I 100% know I can't do it. And even if I have the Dramamine, I'm like, I'm taking a risk here. And it's just so funny that it's flipped for me in that way. But again, I've already said that in the last show, where I think it's because it was real life stuff in front of you, whereas The Simpsons is animated stuff, so I think there's always that disconnect.
Yeah.
In defense of it, you can see why it's all moving in that direction, because it's
easier.
So much easier to update and make the changes. Mm-hmm. It's smart from that perspective, but it is hard on the park guests to go from simulator to simulator to simulator. And in my opinion, you do lose something, you know, as opposed to going through a live environment.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm obviously a fan of live environments, but at the same time too, I understand Universal's aspect of using that is we want to immerse you as much as we can into the ride itself, the situation, the story, the plot line. And with some of these, I think it was even in the Jimmy Fallon, that without the use of simulator technology, they don't think they could tell that story.
Right,
they couldn't
exactly.
give it the justice that it deserved to be told with. So I guess I kind of do understand it, but...
Yeah, there are some instances where the story can't be told quite the same way without that. I mean... This is going to Disney, but try to picture telling the Star Wars story through Star Tours without having the simulation of going light speed through galaxies. You know?
And honestly, that's probably why a lot of what happens with any of the expansions, even if they won't admit it, it's probably going to be based a little bit around simulated technology, because that's...
For better or worse, it's kind of coming to that.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, but at the same time, too... If we went back in time and told them that this is what the state of Universal would
did
be
you do
like,
that on where yeah, they get, say, did you do that on purpose?
Yeah. Oh, wink, wink, wink. At the same time, I don't think we could go back and ever say, like, okay, by doing Back to the Future the ride, you are setting the groundwork for what will be this booming renaissance of simulated attractions in 3D. And would it be worth it? Well, for stuff that's like Transformers that. We don't really need Transformers in the park. No, but for something like Forbidden Journey or Gringotts or Spider-Man for those ones, you know, God bless the fact that they made the decision to do Back to the Future and do it that way and start that whole idea of being able to have simulated technology and inside their theme parks, because it gave right there the top three attractions in my book of any of the parks in terms of thrill rides, and then probably even general. I know
all parks in Orlando.
Oh, good. Yeah. Actually, I'd probably even say all parks in Orlando.
Okay.
I'd make that statement.
I would agree with it. I agree with you.
And that's coming from me loving everything about Disney. But you know, if I came to Orlando and I was only given the option of doing three things, that would probably be the three that I would choose.
Well, you think to yourself, like, what's the thing that, like, what can nobody else do? You know, I don't know. Those are three, like, one-of-a-kind experiences. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's nowhere else. Like, a roller coaster, you can do a roller coaster anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, oh, cool, Rip Ride Rocket, it's themed. The Hulk, they're themed. But they're not, it's not an original, you
they're
know?
They're still roller coasters.
Right. So, Forbidden Journey, I mean, for sure. There's no... You'll never find that arm thing anywhere yet.
Exactly.
Not yet, anyway. Yeah.
No. Not in a moving form. Obviously, there's Kuka Robotics even at Epcot.
Sure.
Inside Interventions, sum of all thrills. But
yeah.
But other than that, it's you know, there's none else out there that are actually moving around on a track, which is what made that ride so revolutionary. And it all, you know, in my opinion, it all stems because Universal wanted to do Back to the Future, and that's where we're going with it. So God bless America. I don't know what else to say about it.
I love the explosion of patriotism here.
It's like that guy watching the last scene of Smallville on YouTube. If you've never seen that, he just starts screaming America. So Back to the Future was an opening day attraction, though, right? Or no? Or was it right afterwards? If it was 91, it should have been.
The park opened in 91. I don't know what the actual day the park opened up with. It might have been that.
Well, because my thing is like, look at what else. So there's like Jaws, E.T., this stuff. Like, there was nothing like Back to the Future in the park then either. So it was its own unique entity at that time too, and I know that Universal sometimes, like we said, has that name for being like a simulator, and some people are like, oh, the simulators, but I don't feel like that. I don't feel like they're simulator heavy necessarily. I mean, I think they're using it, they're heading in the right direction, whereas we were worried they were going to go like the Toy Story Midway Mania route, which mm-hmm. to me, I know everybody loves that ride, but that ride, it's nothing. It's screens that you're shooting at. Like, I understand. It's you know what I mean? Like, there's no yeah. there's no innovation there. So
no, everyone loves that ride mainly for the interactive element of it. That's what the appeal is there. It's not the screen technology or anything like that.
So the park opened on June 7th, 1990. So it came about a year later.
Okay.
I need to start memorizing it. It's sad that like I know the exact opening dates for all the Disney theme parks, but I don't know that for Universal either.
Get on that show.
I mean, I know.
You're going to be demoted from main host.
It's just it's something that it doesn't really stick. At least the Disney ones.
Rhino is coming for your job.
Though the Disney ones are easy because October 1st. That's simple there. And then with Animal Kingdom, it was Earth Day. And Hollywood Studios, it was...
I already forgot the date.
May.
What day Earth Day is?
1990? What did you
June
say?
7th.
Oh, June 7th. Okay.
Yeah, Earth Day is April 15th.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I thought it was April 20th.
Or is it April 13th?
No.
Nah, bruh.
Isn't it April 15th?
It's somewhere in that
April
week.
20th?
I thought it was April 20th, but I'm not going to, you know.
Hold on. I'll bring back our guest star who hasn't been on the show for a while.
Chris Williams?
Yeah, Chris Williams. She hasn't been here.
By the way, our drinking word this episode, it's Chris Williams.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Hey, Siri, what day is Earth Day? Oops. Siri, what day is Earth Day?
Earth Day is on Friday, April 22nd, 2016.
Oh, I was closest.
Is Earth Day always on April 22nd?
It is.
Let me check on that.
I hate
Here's
you, Siri.
What I found on the web for Earth Day always
oh, yeah.
on April 22nd.
It's always on April 22nd. So
I think I win because I was the closest.
I'll give that one to you. Okay, well, see, that just made me sound like an idiot now because I'm spouting lots of random information that was absolutely wrong.
Sorry,
let's talk about things that
you.
Are right. Back to the Future
yeah.
does still have somewhat of a legacy to this day. Obviously, you mentioned that you can still see the DeLorean outside, and you know Doc Brown will be out there from time to time too. Even in the Simpsons pre-show, there's a clever little nod to Doc Brown in that. So definitely keep your eyes open. Don't go to a theme park and just talk to people as soon as you hit an attraction. That's when your mouth needs to stop moving, and you need to pay attention to what's happening around you.
You know what? Don't even go with your family. Just go alone.
Just.
Yeah, theme parks should be treated like libraries, if you ask me.
No, an attraction should be treated like a library, and I will slap anyone who disagrees. There's nothing worse than getting on an attraction, and a pre-show video is also part of an attraction. It is the pre-show to the main show, and then sometimes you even have a post-show. It's all together in one complete form, but whenever you have someone talking through it, it just ruins the experience. Think about if the only memory you ever had of Back to the Future had some loudmouth a-hole sitting right behind you talking the entire time. That's not possible. It's not real. Think about how you would feel about the ride then.
You'd have to go at least 120 miles.
Yeah, 88, that's unlikely. They just pick that because it looks good together, two eights.
No, it's because it's an infinity loop. Did you not know that?
I didn't, actually.
It's to infinity.
Why isn't that in one of those top 10 blogs that we were just talking about?
When I
clickbait.
Watch this episode of the Diz Universal, and you'll never believe that.
You'll find out why it's 88 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. When I figured that out one day, I was just like, bleh.
Yeah.
I think I was like 18.
I never know. But yeah, so Back to the Future ride still exists in the Simpsons ride in that little portion. If you went to Halloween Horror Nights this year, you would have saw a little inside jokes during Bill and Ted's with Back to the Future, the ride as well, too. So it is something that Universal is still obviously very proud of.
Hold up on that note right there.
Yes.
Is that a second DeLorean?
No, that's just, if you look at it, it's not a customized DeLorean. It's literally...
It's just somebody had it, they found a DeLorean in the Orlando area?
It's a DeLorean that they just added on the exhaust to the back and the Mr. Fusion and stuff. It didn't have, like, all the circuits and everything running, on it.
Okay.
But yeah, so Universal's still obviously proud of this product. So, in terms of, in our whole Diz Universal Hall of Fame type of section, do we even need to vote on this? Or is it just an accepted...
I don't know if I can vote. I didn't experience it. I mean, if I'm doing it, you know, if I'm voting conceptually, I would say yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't experience it, so...
Yeah.
Well, I don't feel like my vote should count.
Yeah, and, like, I wouldn't personally vote on it if I had the option because, again, I haven't experienced it. I'm thinking, though, that this one should probably be added just for its importance in general.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Or should we leave it up to a vote still?
Well, I mean...
Rhino, I'm going to you since you're the only one who should have a fair and accurate response to this.
As you know, I'm only a casual fan of these films. but no, for me, again, this is one of those like moments where this ride was a turning point in my theme park life because I was like, I can do attractions because of this ride. Although I was convinced that King Kong was going to take place hundreds of feet in the air, so I couldn't do that one. Mm. This ride had such an impact on me that I would vote for it just for that reason. But I also think this is one of those rides where it's like E.T. It's based on one of Universal's most beloved properties of all the time. And I think it did it justice as well. I don't think it was like it did have a couple cheesy moments. Let's not, you know, we won't ignore those or anything like that. But overall, like this ride was a continuation of what we loved about movies. And I think that's the definition of a successful attraction, okay. Like an experience.
So basically, yes.
Yeah, well, I understand. So you think we should let people vote or we should just go ahead and declare it?
You think this should be like one of those like pins, like you just pin it on?
Like, yeah, this is like a posthumous award that's given where you don't need the whole voting. You just understand that it's so important that they deserve it.
I think it should be one of those only because my fear is that you open up the voting and everyone who it's going to be like one of those, like when we put an article up on the Diz, sometimes people just start commenting on the title rather than actually reading the information in the article. So I think it'll be like, well, I never wrote it, but I'm going to say no because it's just a simulator or something. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Well, that's that then. It is inducted. I have the power.
Where's your gavel?
I don't have a gavel. Why would I just have a gavel?
It slammed the hoverboard.
I asked it like you often care. Inducted.
Was that styrofoam coffee cup gavel? So yeah, Back to the Future the ride. Hopefully one day we get to see it in Universal Studios Japan, but that day is probably long, long, long in our future.
Blue sky.
If only we had a time machine to find out when that happens.
Soon.
That doesn't exist. So before we get going here, I want to say thank you. I hope you enjoyed our geekiness here for the past little bit and really, really got some useful information out of it. And if anything, I think I sold you on getting a copy of Back to the Future, on going to Universal Studios Japan to see this, or getting just a copy of the DVD or Blu-ray of Back to the Future. So I'll actually include the links to it on Amazon so it can make your process a lot easier.
Put the link with the one that has the flux capacitor in it, too.
Okay.
Because that's a nice one.
Yeah. That's limited edition, so.
Well.
you know, it might be gone at this point. So either way, yeah, I'll make sure everything that is necessary will be in the show notes. And of course, you can find our show notes at disunplug.com, as well as anything else that we referenced in the show that is important or for any of our shows on the Dis Unplug Network, including the Disney World Edition, Disneyland, The Trip, and Connecting with Walt, which is on hiatus now until January, whenever it starts back up. And remember, that's also where you'll find our contact section, where you can get a hold of us if you need to. You know, our email, uopodcast@disunplug.com, or any of our personal crap, if I put it up there yet. Still don't remember if I did. Either way, it's not important. I'm the only important one here. uopodcast@disunplug.com. We'll all see it. And then remember, follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that crap. Periscope. We're getting ready at some point to Periscope. We are.
We did.
I know. Well, we're getting ready to Periscope again.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, yeah. Obviously we're not right now because we're not in the parks. We're doing this, but we will in the future. So be watching out if you want to watch our shenanery as we're walking through a park. And then, of course, if you're not subscribed to us yet on YouTube or iTunes and you're just like, you know, watching this as a unsubscribed person or downloading it as an unsubscribed person, stop that and subscribe and just make our lives all a little bit easier, and I'd appreciate it. And then, of course, leave feedback as much as possible. Hit thumbs up, thumbs down, write us a review, say I hate the host, why is he so rude to everyone in the room. I'm rude because I don't like them, but I'm forced to work with them, and sometimes that's just the facts of life. So again, thank you all so much for being with us for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it a little bit. That's going to do it for this episode of the Dis Unplugged Universal Edition. We will see you next time with another episode, but until then, remember...
Hi.
What? I can't keep stalling this. Quick, much longer.
No, push the button.
The future is universal.
It's not. It's relative.